We continue this morning with our sixth part in our Biblical Conflict Resolution series that we're drawing largely from Ken Sandy's Peacemaker. We're going to deal with the easiest part of peacemaking this morning, and it's still really hard. The easiest part is confrontation. The hardest part, of course, is humbling yourself and conducting honest self-examination of your own life. So we already dealt with the hard part, and many of you are going to, glad that's over. Now we can move on to confronting others. So that's where we are this morning. You know, Matthew 18 and verse 15, Jesus brings out this confrontation. This is not something Ken Sandy came up with. This comes from the Word of God. Matthew 18, verse 15, if you have your Bibles with you. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you a heathen and a tax collector. Now, a couple things immediately from this text. The first is, it says, go to your brother. So the confrontation is one in which you face your brother one-on-one. Now, initially, it is not two-on-one. Initially, it is one-on-one. And you go to your brother. You don't email your brother. You don't call your brother on the phone. You don't write your brother a letter. You go to your brother, and you speak to him one-on-one. Now, the second thing I want you to note here is that confrontation is basic to the church community. It is what it takes to hold the church community together. You see, what he's saying is that we're going to deal with these things within the church. Now, if he won't listen to you, take him to the church. And if he won't listen to the church, then he's going to be part of the publicans and the sinners. And he's not going to be part of the church community anymore. You see, what we have is the church as a community. And in order to keep the church as a community, we have to resolve our conflicts. We have to. We have to engage in biblical confrontation. If we don't, the church is going to be in a state of chaos. There will be no church. Instead, you'll have all these assemblies of publicans and sinners that come together. But there's no real church of Jesus Christ because the church is made up of biblical conflict resolvers. Now, in this case, it's a sin against you. See, I want you to know from Matthew 18, it's a sin against you. I'm sorry, I had notes for y'all, and I'm not sure what I did with them. So, rest assured, if you guys see any of my notes there on by your chairs, could you just pass them out to the folks? All right. Well, suffice it to say that this particular text deals with the sin that your brother sins against you. Now, there are texts in the Bible relating to generic sins on the part of your brother. I mean, let's say he's got an issue, he's coming down on his wife. He's saying ugly things about her in front of others. He gets angry in public. You've seen that 3, 4, or 5 times. You're really concerned. Then Galatians 6 and verse 1 applies in such a case, where if somebody is stuck in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore such a one. Okay, so you have a text that deals with sort of generic sins against others or against God. And that's Galatians 6 and verse 1. Matthew 18 deals with the specific sins that your brother sins against you. So either way, confrontation is what comes into play. Now, my second point in the outline is motivation. The heart motivation is important in going into the confrontation. And the reason for this is, one, God can read you like a book. But secondly, a lot of people can read you like a book as well. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people can read you like a book. They'll know if you're playing some kind of a political ploy in the confrontation. They'll understand if it's some kind of a competition here, or if somebody's acting out of pride. People can sense that right away. If you're just looking to cut somebody down, they're going to know that. They're going to read that pretty well. And if you're just somebody out there like a father who knows that you have to do this kind of, or an elder, that you have to do this kind of thing. This is just what elders do. This is my job. And so I have to come in. Like, I wrote a list of the things I'm supposed to do because I make this kind of money or because this is the position God has put me in. So, I've got to go and talk to Mr. X and Mrs. Y about the conflict in the church. You know, they're going to know if you're just checking something off the list and you're just doing your job. Now, another motivation sometimes that at least undermines the confrontation is the motive or the heart attitude of fear. Sometimes when people want to confront somebody else, they find that there is a fear that works within their hearts, and it drives the fight or flight instinct. And I don't know as if any of us are completely immune from this kind of thing, but a lot of us fear repercussions. You know, we're afraid of how my word is going to be received. We're afraid of somebody turning us off. Or we're afraid of losing a friend, which is not an altogether unfounded fear or expectation, because that kind of thing happens quite a bit. And maybe we've seen that happen before. Some of us have been burned. You know, we went through the peacemaker thing 12 years ago for the first time, and then we tried it out for the first time on some family that was a close friend of ours, and they didn't respond well at all. In fact, today, they're not friends with us anymore. They don't even send us Christmas cards anymore. You know, that's pretty common today. People don't receive confrontation very well in the Church of Christ, because we haven't really learned how to be a church very well. We're working on trying to graduate from kindergarten here, and so we've had some bad experiences with confrontation. But don't let that get in your way. Fear is what undermines faith. Faith says, Jesus said this in Matthew 18. Jesus says, go and love your brother. Well, I'm just going to step out there and love my brother. See, love will overcome fear, and you remember that perfect love casts out all fear. So the fact is, friends, if you're in this issue of confrontation, you just simply cannot act out of fear. You cannot. You have to dispel every single ounce of fear before you get involved in the work of biblical, loving confrontation. If your brother is proud, let's say that you have a very proud brother. He doesn't humble himself. He's got a record of never really humbling himself. Maybe you have corrected him in the past in minor way. I mean, you just kind of suggested something. It didn't really go very far. And it was obvious that they responded with this man responded with a great amount of pride. But you still feel you've got to go at him. You feel like this guy has a real problem. You heard him for the third time last week respond to his wife in an angry, insulting tone of voice. And as a brother in Christ, you feel like you've got to go. And so you step up to him. There you see, he's walking towards you. You clear your throat. Everything kind of tightens up. You feel like you've got to cough a few times. And you say, excuse me, Jimmy Joe. And then total silence. Now, at this point, are you fearful of your brother? Are you fearful of your brother? Are you afraid that your brother might reject you? Are you afraid that your brother might abandon you? Are you afraid that your brother might point out a sin in your own life? Well, if that be the case, then you're dealing with pride, so you're going to have to repent of that before you even deal with your own fear. Pride doesn't want its own glass houses busted up. It just doesn't like that. You know, when somebody comes with a mallet of biblical confrontation and the whole glass house is going to shatter all over the place, pride doesn't really want that kind of thing happening. The better question here, rather than are you fearful, is this: are you going to glorify God today? Are you going to glorify God, or are you going to glorify yourself? What are you trying to do? Again, see, it comes back to that. I mean, okay, Jimmy Joe's standing in front of you. He's twice your size. He's got 6 PhDs. He lectures down at the university. I don't know. He's just really proud to the core, but you still got to talk to Jimmy Joe. You have to talk to Dr. Jimmy Joe, PhD. You have to talk to him. But why? Because you're fearful, fight or flight? Or because there is a God in the heavens and you're supposed to glorify Him today? Amen. Say amen. Yeah. We're to glorify God in everything that we're doing. The goal, of course, is to edify your brother. It's to build him up. You've got to check your motivations. Do you love your brother in that situation? Freeze frame. Freeze frame. There you are, looking up at this guy twice your size. Excuse me, Jimmy Joe. Do you love your brother? Somebody rolls a hand grenade in between you. Would you throw your body on the hand grenade before the confrontation continues? Huh? See, that's the kind of question you've got to ask yourself. If you're dealing with fear, close your eyes for a moment. Imagine the hand grenade Mr. Swanson talked about. Just imagine the hand grenade. Okay, stop, freeze frame, hand grenade. What am I going to do? And see, if you say in an honest way, yes, I would throw my body on that hand grenade. Okay, great. Now let's move on with the confrontation. Y'all follow? Does everybody understand what I'm doing here? Now, let's talk a little bit about methodology. Has anybody here performed heart surgery? Do we have any heart surgeons here in the church? I don't think we do. I'm guessing that heart surgery takes some work. It takes some meticulousness and carefulness. Well, this calls for some carefulness too. You got to be wise in biblical confrontation. You have to be somewhat delicate. It's true that love covers the multitude of sins. But still, wisdom. Wisdom's important. Jude 1:21 brings out some of the methodology. Our brother Mike exhorted from this a couple months ago. But again, I'll read this one more time for you. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, there again is the motivation. Okay? Jude starts with motivation. Keep yourself in the love of God. So, okay, what do I do when I'm stepping up to Jimmy Joe? I'm keeping myself in the love of God. Don't leave the love of God at home. You know, I'm coming in. I'm swimming in the love of God. I'm swimming in this fish tank of the love of God all around me. Okay? Keep yourself in the love of God. Bring the love of God with you. There you are, standing in the love of God at the cross of Jesus Christ, bathed in the blood of Christ, bathed in the love, the eternal love of Jesus Christ. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Of some have compassion, making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. So what do we got here? Two methods. Again, I'm not spending a lot of time with this. Get the sermon that Mike preached on this if you're interested. Two methods. It's got to be gentle and or sharp. That's it. See, some save with compassion. Some save gently, carefully, you know, with a lot of gentleness, with, 0.05 PSI. And for some, do it with fear, you know, yanking them out of the fire. Apply the 875 PSI, yank them out of the fire, pull them out, and be rather sharp with them in the process. Now, be careful that it's not fear, as I just said. Be careful it's not fear, fight or flight. Okay, none of that. We don't need that. Be careful it's not anger and impatience. You know, brothers and sisters, I got to confess to you, this is difficult for me. I mean, this is, you know, as I was working on this one, I was really boring to some of the more difficult situations that I have been in myself. And I have not been altogether without sin. I know that. I know sometimes I've given to impatience. I mean, the sovereign Kevin in me wants to come out and say, you know, even as I'm somewhat sharp, and again, the methodology of sharp confrontation, is that legitimate at points? Yeah, it is. Even as using the sharp form of confrontation, does the sovereign Kevin show up and say, well, I'm going to strike that rock, and I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to change that heart, and I'm going to do it because I'm an impatient, angry wretch. Okay, there's a little bit of that in old Kev. Anybody else? Okay, thank you. A couple others. Okay, thank you. That helps me a little bit here. So, can't brute force the thing. You've got to rely on Jesus Christ and His Spirit in order to bring this about. All right. Now let's go through this quickly. I realize these are long exhortations. I'm going to run through this rather quickly. I talked about motivation, talked about method. Now here's the practical steps. Number one, you've got to prepare. You've got to prepare. You've got to take the time. And in preparation, I'd include prayer. But prepare. Deliberate. Be somewhat reluctant and careful before you get into it. Matthew 7:1 says, don't judge or you will be judged. James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Now, these things ought to be playing in our minds all the time, moderating, moderating, moderating. Speaking should not come out of wrath. It should come out of hearing all the important factors. Careful deliberation. And remember, love will take the time. Love will take the time. You can take the time. Now, in the process, don't gunny sack. Don't create bitterness in your own heart and hold all these things against your brother. Please don't do that. But take the time. Try to be objective. Be tentative. You may be wrong. Many differences are the results of misunderstandings. I can't tell you how many differences. I mean, people do not understand the other person 100%. Even as a counselor in these situations, I've worked in moderating conflicts many, many times. I'll tell you what. Almost always, without exception, in counseling, I do not have the whole picture going into it. I do not have the right list. Now, I may number one, know there's a problem. Sense there's a problem. Can see that relationships are interrupted. But walking in, I've got these preconceived notions. Jimmy Joe has sin A, B, C, and D. And Jilly Joe has sins E, F, G, and H. That's what I'm thinking going into it, okay? I get in, I find out that Jimmy Joe has L, M, and L, P, and Jilly Joe has A, B, and D. See, you're not going to know right away that you've got everything dialed in. You just don't, because the heart is actually a very deep thing. It takes wisdom to plumb it. That's what the Proverbs tell us. So be tentative, be careful, don't be Mr. Hotshot. I know what's going on. I got a PhD in counseling from Dallas Theological Seminary, and I am like ready to go, man. No. You walk in, you don't know what's going on in this situation. You go tentatively and be patient. Go repeatedly if necessary. Rome wasn't won in a day. Sometimes you're not going to win your brother in a day. Postpone confrontation if necessary, especially if it's not urgent. Sometimes it takes time to gain objectivity yourself, and a few weeks may help you to gain perspective. Okay, the meat. How do you do this? Now, let me say, first of all, that, you know, the way I've built this entire thing up, I kind of build it up as a big formal thing. Sometimes, if you're dealing with everything in a big formal structure, that can be rather imposing and rather a turnoff for your brothers and sisters, okay? So if you're like, okay, I have an official biblical conflict resolution meeting scheduled with you at 0100 hours, you know, on May 11th, 2012, you know, and here's what's really fun. Stick it like 6 months out so they can stew on it. And they can just imagine the most horrible possible scenarios between now and then. You know, that's the way we are, isn't it? You know, and so don't do that. The more informal it can be, the better. Often the better it is. But oftentimes you're going to need to kind of set something up. If so, you know, I need to take an hour with you at the coffee shop. You know, I just want to kind of get caught up with you. I mean, you could say things like that. I want to get on the same page. You know, something like that. You just kind of give them an informal sense that you want to get together. You want to connect. So get a meeting going. Pray beforehand. Pray in the middle of it. Pray. If the thing's not going that well, pray a prayer of confession yourself, right smack in the middle of the whole thing. Pray afterwards. Be a man of prayer. And here's one reason. If it's another Christian, they're probably not going to attack you for that. Right? I mean, wouldn't you agree? I mean, if you're a Christian, are people going to say, now what are you doing praying again? And you're confessing your own sins before God. What are you doing that for? Okay, that would be a really bad relationship. You might need some more help. Bring in some mediators in situations like that. That might be important. But the prayer is important. The prayer is so important. And here's second point. You know, we went through the whole self-examination for over 2-3 weeks. We even talked about confession. This is where confession goes. Okay? This is where it fits in. It fits in at the beginning. Really at the beginning. I mean, hey, you need to be the first guy. Step up to the plate. Say, here's where I am at. These are the sins. This is exactly how I sinned against you. And remember last week, you need to get the exhortation if you didn't get it, because that was really critical. You got to confess precisely, accurately, bring out the specific things you did, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Say, I broke God's commandment, the fifth commandment, Galatians 4:17 and Ephesians 2:18, when I did this, and I just feel bad. I feel sorry. I know I hurt you. Define what you did. Define that you know you hurt the other person. If you did, and you say it, you just say it. I hurt you, and I ask your forgiveness right now. In fact, can we stop for a moment? I feel like I need to just unload this at the throne of Jesus. Just give it to Jesus right now. Is that okay if we stop and pray right now? Now, even if that's all that you get out of the meeting, at least you go home justified. Maybe the other person doesn't want to confess any sins, but that's his deal. Again, you're not in total control of these sorts of things. As you confess your sins, you go home justified. Praise God. Now, you might also build on a superficial confession. Sometimes they'll come back after your confession and say, well, now, it wasn't all your fault. You know, if they come back, well, praise God. Maybe they didn't get specific. Maybe they didn't want to bring it all out themselves. Now, you can follow up and ask questions. I appreciate you saying that. What do you think you did wrong? You know, you could maybe ask some questions. And I would encourage you to ask questions along the way. It's really about the only strategy that's really super, super effective is asking questions. If you come off right away, I'm here to confront you. You're the biggest sinner I've ever seen in my life. And specifically, you broke this commandment and that and this and that and this and that, period. Okay, now I need to hear some confession of faith. Let's get on our knees right now. Okay, that kind of confrontation doesn't go very well. Ask some questions. Choose your words carefully so they won't question your motives. Something like this. Bill, I appreciate your forgiveness. I'm really going to work at controlling what I say in the future. In fact, I'd appreciate it if you would let me know if you ever hear me talking like that again. In the same way, I believe there are some things you could do differently in the future that would really help me and help us to avoid some similar problems. Can I explain what I mean by that? Now, does that sound disarming to you? Would somebody open up, do you think, at that point? I think so. Brothers and sisters, we're all sinners here. This is what sinners do. You buy a new house, you got 378 things wrong with it. Doesn't matter if it's new or old or 60 years old or 2 years old. There's always a list of things that you're going to do with it. Right, Edens? Joel Edens got his list. I was going over it yesterday, right? We were going over all the list of things wrong with the house. They just got in, very thankful, but they still have a long list of things wrong with the house. Some of you just made it to this church, and you're making the list. You got it, baby. There's a big old long list. We're going to have to start somewhere. Amen. Let's start on the list what sinners do, and this is how we build the church of Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are so good to us. Father, you had received us when we had sinned 50 billion sins against you. You have forgiven us $60 trillion. Father, give us the opportunity in this church to engage in biblical conflict resolution. Father, show us how to do it. We ask that you not give us the level 60 rapid on the first one. Give us about a 2.5 so we can kind of make it through the first one or first two or three. Father, but help us in our relationships, in our families, in our brother-sister relationships, to be able to humble ourselves. We confess that we are a fearful lot. We fear what man can do to us. We're given to anger so easily, Father. We got the control freak working in us. And sometimes we really have a hard time humbling ourselves before our brothers and sisters. Father, we pray that you would forgive us for this. We pray that today your Spirit would work in us. Soften our spirits, Father. Help us to know that we're sinners, but comfort us with the blood of Jesus. To know that there was a reason why Jesus shed His blood for us on that cross. Because we are bloody sinners. We are bloody sinners. And we need that blood to cover us. Now we take a moment to confess our own sins before the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.